Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
We're just wrapping up our study of the Lord's Prayer. We actually finished the Lord's Prayer, but now we're looking at the comment that Jesus made about his own prayer. Right after he finished giving us the prayer, he gives an explanatory comment about one of the things he said that he knew would raise some questions. That line about, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us." Jesus felt the need to give some explanation to that. And so in verses 14 and 15 of Matthew 6, he gives us this explanation. He says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And we made the point last time that it is impossible to receive forgiveness from God while you're refusing to forgive someone else. So that's where we'll pick it up now.
God's forgiveness is freely offered, but it's impossible to receive while we're holding a grudge. And the reason it's impossible has to do with the definition of forgiveness. So let's remind ourselves, just quickly, let me refresh your memory on the definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness basically is the restoration of a broken relationship. A person sins against you, and that puts a strain on the relationship, and you're angry, you're upset, you're hurt, because they hurt you, and there's now friction and strife between you and them, and then they stop sinning against you, stop hurting you, and they realize the wrongness of what they've done, and they feel really bad for having hurt you, and the time finally comes when they confess to you, and they ask for your forgiveness, they repent, and they're broken and sorry towards you all the time. Finally you say, "I don't want that anymore. I don't want you to have that posture towards me anymore. I don't want your relationship with me to be governed by that sin anymore and that sorrow and that sadness. Let's get back on a good, happy footing in our relationship. Now I'm ready. Just put it in the past so we can be back on a good footing." And that's forgiveness. It's when you're concerned to eliminate their sorrow. I get that from 2 Corinthians 2:7. "You ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow." When you forgive, you're trying to get the person out of sorrow. Forgiveness is that point where you no longer want that person to be broken anymore, so you drop it. And you choose to replace your anger with mercy. Micah 7:18. "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy." Forgiving is showing mercy. You replace the anger with mercy, and you close the books on the matter. It's a decision to end it. You no longer hold anything against this person. Mark 11:25, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against someone, forgive him." So forgiving is the opposite of holding it against. So you put all that together and you get this definition. Forgiveness is setting aside a grievance and extending love, comfort, kindness, and compassion, putting the matter completely to rest and opening the door to full reconciliation to the person who sinned against you. That's forgiveness. I'll read that again. Forgiveness is setting aside a grievance and extending love, comfort, kindness, compassion, putting the matter completely to rest and opening up the door to full reconciliation to the person who sinned against you. And when you understand that definition, then you can see why it's impossible to receive God's forgiveness while refusing to forgive others. Because forgiveness is, remember, the restoration of the broken relationship. If you're going to repair something that's broken, you have to first wait for it to finish being broken. You can't repair it while it's still being broken. If you're going to fix someone's car, you can't fix that car while someone is still taking a sledgehammer to it. You got to wait till they're done taking the sledgehammer to it, then you can fix it. Right? And you can't repair a relationship while the person is in the process of smashing it to pieces. You got to wait till they're done doing that, then you can repair it. That's why Repentance is essential for forgiveness. There can be no forgiveness without repentance. Because when we refuse to forgive a brother or sister, we're not repentant before God, so we can't receive forgiveness from God. We're still taking a sledgehammer to our relationship with God. And the process of repairing that damage can't even begin until we stop the activity that's causing the damage, which is our unforgiveness of someone else. Before He's willing to forgive, God requires a few things. He requires confession, sorrow, and repentance. Right? 1 John 1:9. If we confess, another condition, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We have to admit to our wrongdoing. We have to confess. And then when we admit to it, we can't just admit to it and laugh it off. We need to take it seriously. There has to be contrition and sorrow. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow leads to repentance. And that brings us to the third requirement, repentance. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. So God will forgive you only after you confess and are broken in sorrow, and that sorrow leads to repentance, which is a turning away from that sin back to God. In other words, you have to stop taking a sledgehammer to your relationship with God. And that involves realizing your sin, realizing your guilt, and realizing your indebtedness to God. But when you're focused, when you're unforgiving, when you won't forgive a brother, then you're focused on how you've been wronged and how someone is indebted to you, and you're not focused on your own indebtedness, your own unworthiness. You can't be focused on both at the same time. Repentance is a posture of humility. Unforgiveness is a posture of pride. You can't have both at the same time. When you have your hands around the neck of someone who sinned against you, that's not a posture of repentance before God. When we refuse to forgive, it's because deep down we don't think we need forgiveness. We think we're better than this other person. That person's hurt you, done something terrible to you, something far worse than you would ever do. You would never do a sin like that. And so you think, sure, I need forgiveness for my little small sins, but no, I don't commit huge sins like this against anybody. Usually when you can't find it in your heart to forgive someone, it's because you think you're above that person. Just because that person has committed a sin that you would never dream of committing does not make you above that person or better than that person anyway. Whatever sins people commit against you are nothing compared to the way that you and I have sinned against God. We offend God's holiness more in 1 hour than everybody in the world has offended us in our whole lifetime put together. If this person is repentant, then what makes you any different from him? What makes you any better than him? He's a repentant sinner. You're a repentant sinner. You're the exact same. You're both repentant sinners, which is the best you could ever hope for in this life. Be a repentant sinner. If you realize that your attitude towards someone is starting to slide down into a mode of superiority where you're thinking you're better than them, remind yourself that in Colossians 3:13, we're commanded to forgive one another. Did you know that God has to command all of us to forgive you? The one another implies that we're all in need of forgiving. You know, we tend to think, oh, I'm being so big and so gracious and so self-sacrificial because I'm overlooking some offense. In the meantime, I've got a dozen people around me overlooking all kinds of offenses that I'm committing I don't even realize. No doubt several people right now are overlooking and covering over and bearing with faults that you have that you don't even realize you have. And they're being patient with you. But when we refuse to forgive, we're acting like we don't need forgiveness ourselves. Because there's no way you can refuse to forgive someone else at the same time having a sense that you really truly believe that you need to be forgiven. Those two can't go together. Refusal to forgive others means you are completely unaware of your need to be forgiven. You're saying, I don't need forgiveness. And it's like God says then, okay, you don't think you need forgiveness? Fine, you won't get forgiveness. If If you won't forgive your brother or your sister, then you don't think you need forgiveness for your sins, which means you aren't really repentant, which means you won't get forgiveness for your sins. And beyond that, when we ask God, now I'm giving you reasons why it's impossible to receive God's forgiveness while we're being unforgiving. Another reason is, when we ask God for forgiveness, what are we asking? We're asking, Lord, let my intimacy and closeness with you be restored. The relationship that I took a sledgehammer to, let it be fixed. That's impossible when you're remaining in refusing to forgive a brother because God has forgiven that repentant brother. We can never be right with God while we're unwilling to reconcile a relationship with God, somebody that God has reconciled with. You can't hate my wife and then pretend everything's fine between me and you. It's not. You can't come up to me and say, hey, Daryl, we're cool, right? We're fine. And at that very moment, be mistreating my children. We're not cool if you're doing that. And just as you love it when in your home your children love each other and are living in peace and joy and harmony in your home, and you don't like it when your children are mad and angry and fighting with each other, it's the same way in the household of God. You're never right with the Father while you're withholding forgiveness from one of His children whom He's forgiven. Jesus already made that point crystal clear earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 5, remember, He says, if you're angry with your brother, you're guilty of murder. You can't ask to be forgiven for murder while you're still murdering. You got to finish murdering, then ask for forgiveness. Right? Because forgiveness can only come after the sin is over. But as long as you have an angry heart, the sin is ongoing.
The next time you ask God to forgive you, try adding this to your prayer. God, please forgive me for doing what I did and restore what I broke in our relationship. If you prayed that way every time you asked for forgiveness, it would remind you of what forgiveness means. And would protect you from the insanity of asking God to forgive you while you're still holding something against someone else who has sinned against you and repented.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.